it's that lunchroom chatter podcast, you know? Will you sit up and think about fucking your girl's best friend, but you can't because your girl's a fighter and she'll fuck you up? This that lunchroom chatter podcast. Will you lay up and think about being a porn star, but you can't because you come too quick, so you gotta eat the pussy for 95 minutes. That kind of shit. This that lunchroom chatter podcast. Will you in bed at night thinking about beating your meat, but you can't because you live with your mama, and she bust in the room and say, bitch, get the fuck up. Mama, why you ain't knock on the door first? This that kind of shit. Where you can be yourself, where you can relax, where you could put yourself into the mind of another nigga. So stay tuned. Let's get this shit popping. Lunchroom Chatter Podcast, baby.
Yes, sir. You guys are tuned in right now, man, to a special bonus episode of that.
Brand new LCP.
Yeah, on this episode, man, I want to focus on and I want to talk about something that's kind of near and dear to my heart. And the topic is, do us as black people hold each other back? Do us as a black culture, a black community, hold each other back sometimes? And I believe that we do. And I have some clips pulled up. I got some things I want to express, because you guys who have known me my whole life know that I've kind of expressed that in so many situations, especially based on my habits and my lifestyle choices, and how sometimes they kind of disconnect from the quote unquote average black young man in relation to my habits, to where a lot of times I do feel as if in many situations I would be the consolation prize or the second choice, not being black enough because, and I've been told that by other black men, especially by other black women, especially when you look at factors like dating or even friends, coworkers, I've often been told I'm not black enough. And I feel as if that is something that we do often in our culture and in our society, to devalue other black people based on the fact that their principles, their lifestyle choices may not mirror what you do. So I want to boo it. I feel like it's shit like that that kind of holds us back as a people, because my whole life I've had to deal with that. And that kind of played, well, not kind of, it did play a huge part in when I was about 18, 19 years old. And I did go through mental health and I was struggling. I've said this before, going back about 2 years ago in the podcast, that there was a time when I did want to kill myself. And I did plan it out in my mind and want to commit suicide because of 30% due to, you know, feeling depressed about decisions I made at that time. But the other 70% was due to just feeling inferior, feeling as if I wasn't good enough. Because at that time I was 19 years old, but now I'm 33 years old. My whole life I've never drank. I've never smoked. I've been to two parties my whole life. The first party, I was like 12 and my mama was there. And you know, when your mama come to a party, the shit don't count. Like, I had to go to a party. I got invited by a schoolmate and my mama had to take me. And of course, you know, we live in the Bronx, so she ain't going to just let me go to the party by myself. So she came, she set her ass at the party. So that don't count. Second party I went to, it was my first day in college in Morrisville State. Me, my roommate, my boy Naquan, and I think somebody else, we had went to a party for about maybe 30 minutes. So they had like a party for like new students. Hey, come meet the students and come dance and shit like that. So we all went to the party, kind of laughed, joked, sat there, and you know, just, it was cool, but we only sat there for like 30 minutes. We was like, yo, we don't want to be here. So we left, went back to the dorm, just started talking and chilling. I feel as if due to a lot of my lifestyle, like, I've been told, oh, you ain't black enough. You ain't a real nigga. You ain't. And I'm like, wait, what? And this goes back to living in the projects and me going to college and coming back from college and, oh, you ain't one of us. Oh, you be doing that white shit. And I'm like, wait, what? Now, also, man, when I was 4 years old, when I was 4 years old, you guys who are from New York City, you guys might know, you guys might have heard of the Fresh Air Fund. That is a program, I don't even know if that shit's still there, where they gave black inner city kids the chance to go upstate and you spend time with mostly Caucasian families for about 2 weeks or a month. And that was done to give black inner city kids who might not have had the chance to ride a bike, to learn how to swim, to enjoy nature, go camping. That program was great because it gave young black inner city kids like me the chance to experience a summer outside of just the gunshots, the violence, the negativity. And I went from when I was 4 years old, and I think I stopped going when I was like 14. So I went for a decade every summer. I remember being told so many times, especially as I got older, like 10, 11, 12, "Oh, you still going with them white people? That ain't black shit." And it's so many things I've learned at that time, like going camping, you know, swimming, hiking. It's so many things that I've learned in that decade from when I was 4 to 14 years old that I still do now. And because I still have some of those lifestyle choices that I love, I consistently, even now, "Oh, that's white shit. Nigga, you go hiking. Black people don't go hiking." And I'm like, everything is for everybody. I don't section off shit between black people shit and white people shit. Everybody can like anything. And I found a great clip. This is about almost a decade ago from CNN, where they was discussing comments that Charles Barkley made in relation to how black people face crap from other black people. And I agree. And like I said at the start of this episode, it's so many times during this path in my life to where I've been made to feel like the consolation prize, especially when it came to dating. Because like I said, especially during college, due to the fact that my lifestyle choices never aligned up in relation to partying, drinking, smoking. Even now, once social media came into like this huge influence in our culture, and I still don't party, drink, or smoke. So it's oftentimes, many times, where I've met a woman who, she looks mature, she looks professional. And then she, "Hey, so let's go out for a drink." "Yeah, I don't drink, but we could do something else." "You don't drink, so what do you do for fun?" "Oh my God." And I'm just like, "Oh my God, here we go again with the same shit." And when I hear that, I often zone out because I'm like, here we go again. Like, not partying, drinking, smoking, or a black brother might enjoy reading a book, going to the library. But now oftentimes in our culture, if a black dude say, "You know what, yo, I'm about to go to the library, I'm going to go to Barnes & Noble's, I'm going to read." Now, if he has like-minded friends, that's great. But oftentimes in like the average realm of our culture, he'll be called a square. "Oh, that's lame shit." And it's things like that that's often very counterproductive. And like I said, I've struggled. Now I'm in a great place to where I'm more in tune with myself and who I love and the things I love, the things I enjoy doing, to where I kind of just brush it off. Like, get the fuck off me. Like, it don't affect me the same way. But when I was in my late teen years, even my early 20s, like shit like that impacted me because I'm like, am I not good enough? Like, am I someone who was born in the wrong time zone? Like, am I ever going to be considered quote unquote black? That's something that a lot of black men struggle with, even black women. So I want to dive into this clip real quick. Like I said, bonus episode of that.
Brand new LCP.
It was just something that was weighing on my mind. And I've been having conversations over the past week or two. And I just wanted to kind of push out this bonus episode just to get black folks to understand, man, everybody black, man. I don't give a fuck if you think somebody's not black because of their dating choice. Or you're not black because you don't do this. Black is black, man. Like, we got to stop trying to justify somebody's blackness based on if they like the shit we like. Everybody has their own path in life. Now, that might not be somebody you want to hang with because, you know, you might be somebody who loves going to the club. Now, you can find motherfuckers who do what you like doing, but don't de-justify somebody else's blackness because their lifestyle choices might not align with yours. But let's dive into this CNN clip as they break down what Charles Barkley said in relation to, do black people face crap from other black people? So let's dive into this shit. Let me turn me up in the headphones.
Charles Barkley now. Tara, this is for you first. Here's what he said. He said, there are a lot of black people who are unintelligent, who don't have success. It's best to knock a successful black person down because they're intelligent. They speak well. They do well in school, and they are successful. He raised a lot of eyebrows this weekend when this audio came out from a radio interview. Here's the rest of some of what he said.
When you are black, you have to deal with so much crap in your life from other black people. It's a dirty, dark secret. I'm glad it's coming out. for some reason, we are brainwashed to think if you're not a thug or an idiot, you're not black enough. If you go to school, make good grades, speak intelligent, and don't break the law, you're not a good black person.
I want to pause it right there because, like I said, that's a great point because, like I said, and again, some of you guys who might not have grown up in certain communities, you guys might not understand, but that's a true fucking point. Growing up in the projects, like ask any young black man, 14, 15, even some as young as 11 or 12, maybe even 10. If you don't engage in certain activities, you are not black enough. I remember when I got to about 11 or 12 years old, and you know how you got friends in the neighborhood. I lived in the projects. You got friends in certain neighborhoods and they start doing, quote unquote, the young teen dumb shit where they might kind of break into a car. They might go into a store and take a bag of chips. And I'm like, I'm not doing that shit. Oh, nigga, don't be lame, nigga. Oh, yo, we just having fun. Like, that's motherfuckers always want to describe it as we're just having fun. I'm like, bruh, anything that can possibly put my ass in jail, I don't see that as having fun. Like, having fun to me is doing something that's fun to where I can go home at the end of the day and see my fucking family. But see, me even saying that, oh, John, yo, YOLO, you only live once. You're a square. And that's something that we often have to endure in our black culture, in our society. And a lot of you guys probably have young sons, young daughters, and they will, not if, they will go through the same thing. Again, not if, because it will happen. It will. And I don't give a fuck if you ain't grow up in the projects. Like, once we become teenagers, go to school, like, everything you instilled in your child, that's great. But now you have to hope that your child took that in a way to be able to say no, because the peer pressure will come. Again, not if, it will come.
And it's a dirty, dark secret, Anthony. Listen, I hate to bring white people into our crap, but as a black person, we all go through it when you're successful.
Okay, so,
Lord.
Tara, he was talking about an African-American quarterback, and he said that, now again, I don't even know if the reports are true. He was saying that about Russell Wilson. He's saying Russell Wilson, members of his team don't think he's black enough and they don't like him. I don't know. That's not our reporting, mm-hmm. but he certainly caused a firestorm. What do you make of his comments?
Well, I mean, that's Charles Barkley. He's known to cause controversy and be very frank in his words. He definitely doesn't mince words. But, I mean, I may not have worded it the way he did, but I understand where he's coming from. I mean, the most racism I ever experienced in my life came from people in the black community, from the time I was a little girl, because I was light-skinned, because I have light eyes, because I speak differently, because I'm educated. It was ridiculous. And if you go to my Twitter feed after the show, you're going to see all of the most disgusting, vile things, predominantly coming from black folks. And I think that's unfortunate. It's a sad commentary, and it's something that, you know, Van may or may not disagree, but I can go based off of my own personal experiences, that is a very real thing. The crabs in the barrel aspect...
I see it differently, sis.
Well, the crabs in the barrel syndrome is definitely, it exists.
Okay.
There may be other parts of it that doesn't happen to everyone, but it exists. And I think Charles Barkley was brave in actually mentioning it. I understand
go
where
ahead,
he's coming
Van.
From with that. It's real.
I see it differently. Look, I don't think African-Americans are unique in having some jealous, hateful people in the community. But I tell you, my experience is wherever I go, African-Americans are proud that I have an Ivy League education. I've done well. I get a lot of attaboys and a lot of you goes.
I want to pause real quick because I like Van Lathan, but now I feel like the issue with his point in relation to this subject is he is centering it just on himself. Now, if you center it only on yourself, you are neglecting to think about the people who aren't you, the young black men out there who haven't and who won't go to Ivy League schools. So when you have this point, when you have this type of conversation, this dialogue, you can't focus it on you. Well, it doesn't exist because when I go places, I don't go through that. When I go to places, they say, hey, you went to an Ivy League school? That's great. Van Lathan, you can't think about it in terms of just you. Think about it in terms of what young Tyrone, who might be 14, 15, who live in the inner city might be going through, who hasn't gone to that Ivy League school. The young black man, young black lady who graduated high school with no plans to go to college, who simply want to work a regular job, because that happens. So we can't think about it in terms of just from our own individual lens, because that's when you sound like this and you sound detached from what actually might go on in our culture.
People, and you always have a few, but what I am concerned about are the people who overreact to the few and then spread stereotypes themselves about our community. The biggest obstacles in our community are not a few hateful crabs in the barrels. We have big obstacles like a prison system that's out of control, arresting way too many African Americans who do the same level of crime as whites when it comes to drug crimes.
Van, we have much bigger obstacles than
the crabs in the barrel.
Here's what I think. I think you're absolutely right on that. But I also think that that is an entirely different subject. You can mention one thing and not have to mention the other all the time. You don't have to say, let me preface this by saying, I know there's racism. Of course we know there's racism. We live racism every day. So I think Tara has a point in the sense.
But I just think he overstated.
Yeah, I agree with you. But I think Tara has a sense in a point, to a point here, that you always have to preface it and say, okay, listen, I know there's racism, people, but let me just make this observation. Why should you be limited as a person and as a professional by always having to give a caveat about something that is
I'm not talking about that sense. Caveat. That's I may have misspoken, Don. Let me just say this. He said that the reason we won't be successful is because of other African Americans.
Well,
and I'm
Charles
saying
Barkley,
that's an overstatement. I don't think that's true.
Yeah, right. I mean, I think that he engaged in hyperbole. But again, that's just Charles Barkley. That's his personality. But I do think the crux of what he said, there is some validity to it. I lived it. I live it every day. You know, as a minority female conservative, do you have any idea the names that I'm called from black folks? I mean, they call me every name in the book. I don't get that. I didn't have that experience on the other side.
Van, I'm sure you've seen,
we've talked
about this. You've seen this. I'm sure you've seen my Twitter feed. You've seen the criticism. If I don't carry a certain narrative for which people think that African Americans or liberals, and I'm not a liberal and I'm not a conservative either, then I am all of a sudden Uncle Tom. Mm-hmm. I am a sellout.
Well,
I am all of these things.
What are you talking about?
And every single person, I was at brunch yesterday with all black people, about 10 black people, and everyone said he has a point. He said it wrong, but he is correct in his point. It's absolutely true, Van.
Let me say a couple of things. One, there is a party line in the black community politically. If you go against that, you will hit a bug zapper. That is true.
I want to clap it up for that conversation, that dialogue. And of course, you know, Charles Barkley, he did kind of sensationalize it, but I understand fully what he was saying. And I said, that's why I wanted to have this quick little bonus episode to simply say, bro, if you got black people, you got black friends in at your job, in your culture, in your community, even in your family. Like, of course, at the cookout, it might be the one black motherfucker who there who don't drink. He's not lame. He's not a loser. He simply don't drink because he probably has other lifestyle choices that he makes that's happy to him. So think about life outside of just yourself and focus it on, you know what, this person's desires or lifestyle choices might not align with mine, but if he's happy living his life, that's all that matters. It doesn't, you know, de-blackify him. That's not even a word.
Brand new LCP.
But it doesn't take away or minimize his blackness. I remember I was having a conversation about couple months ago about Donald Glover, and she was like, oh my god, his show Atlanta, I love Atlanta, I love that song This Is America. And she was black, she said this: oh, I love that show Atlanta, oh my god, it's so amazing, it's a great representation of black people. But then I was like, how do you feel about him having a white wife? And once I said that, she googled it. Oh my, yo, that's crazy. Yo, black men. And like, her whole stance changed. And it kind of went towards, he's not black enough now. Or, oh, Atlanta must be fake. Oh, This Is America. It don't hit the same no more, because how you going to say all that shit? Then date a white woman. It's just like, it's so many narratives and stereotypes that we use. And it's only done often to kind of de-blackify, quote unquote, for lack of a better word, the black men. Because when a black woman dates a white guy, oh, you know, she had no choice because she had to do it. Because black men are trash, so she had to do it. But I'm like, a black man who might have different lifestyle choices, let them live, man. And like I said, you guys out there, man, who tuned in, who stay locked into the podcast, I hope that you guys understand it is okay for somebody, black men, black women, to have different choices that don't always align up with the fucking shade room, the baller alert type of lifestyle. It's people out here who wake up and live, quote unquote, healthy, pure, authentic lifestyles. That's fun. If you actually take the time to get to know these people, because you never know what those words might have on somebody. Like I said, when I was 19, 20, 21 years old, I struggled with thinking I wasn't good enough. I wasn't black enough because of my lifestyle choices. But see, I was able to overcome that time in my life and realize, bruh, I'm dope as fuck. But see, especially now, but then again, this was like pre-social media. But now with social media being so fucking heavy and like the pressure, the burden that often gets placed on somebody's back, the next person, the next five people might not be able to overcome the demons, the inner struggle, the battle to be great or to embrace who they really are. So just take the time, be mindful, and just, man, spread positivity, just spread love in the culture. I know I come on here, I joke, I laugh, I say things and stuff like that, but sometimes it'd be entertainment, but at the end of the day, the message I always try to push is just love each other, be respectful of everybody, and just understand that everybody out here has a place. Now, you might not agree with their place, or you might not like who they are because, like I said, what they love might not align with what you love. But don't talk down on that person, man, because that person has a life, they have a family, they have a place, and if they're happy living their life how they see fit, it's A-okay with me, man.
Brand new LCP.
You guys out there, man, stay locked in, stay tuned into the LCP. Again, if you guys want to support, my Cash App is $NYCStory718. My Venmo is Lunchroom Chatterpod. Stay tuned in, stay locked in on all platforms. Man, I got some new episodes, new interviews on the way. Stay locked in. It's your man, John A. Shows. This is that.
Brand new LCP.